Emergency coordinator for Doctors Without Borders, Jean-Pierre Amigo, describes mass graves, burned villages and starving children in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. The conflict in the DRC is reaching breaking point with over 3 million people displaced. The conflict comes after President Kabila delayed last year's election in a bid to stay in power. This move has driven a wedge between tribal leaders and the government. The people, meanwhile, are suffering from malnutrition and malaria in the cities, whilst farmers have had their tools confiscated by soldiers and are left scavenging for fruit. The executive director of the World Food Programme, David Beasley, says the situation in the Congo is a looming humanitarian catastrophe. I interviewed international relations professor from the University of Otago, Robert Patman, to tell us more about this conflict and the tragic background of the country in which it's happening. So, in the Congo, this Kasai conflict that's going on at the moment, yep. Obviously it's a division between the tribes and the central government, or tribal leaders and the central government. I mean, have we seen governments in Africa or elsewhere reconcile this division? Do you think it will be reconciled, or do you think that this will cause further conflict in the future?
I don't think we necessarily can rule out the possibility of peace returning, but it's fair to say that the Democratic Republic of the Congo has had a very troubled history for about 20 years or so. Something like 5 million lives were lost in a civil war between 1994 and 2003. And this recent problem has blown up because the incumbent, the elected president, Joseph Kabila, unfortunately, and this is where the recent problems have developed, Kabila's term was due to expire on the 20th of December 2016, according to the Constitution. Unfortunately, he showed no signs of willing to step down. And not only that, he appointed a new cabinet and indicated that elections would not be held to 2018. So that has fueled problems. And so violence erupted between the rebel militia and government forces even before Kabila was due to step down in December. And I think it's that mix of, there's obviously ethnic divisions. The ethnic divisions within the Congo were fueled by the Rwandan conflict. Rwanda had a terrible genocide in 1994, in which the Hutus carried out ethnic cleansing of the Tutsis, and something like 2,000 Hutus fled across the border once the Tutsis, the majority community, asserted themselves. And that has, in effect, destabilized for a long period of time Democratic Congo. So to answer your question, we can't rule out the possibility that peace will return, but at the moment it looks very fragile. And as you intimated in your opening comments, Kasai is where much of the violence is going on at the moment. And this, of course, has huge consequences for the whole country. The director of the World Food Programme, David Beasley, has warned in the last couple of days that more than 3 million people now face the very real risk of starvation. And this is a country, a huge country. It's 78 million people, and it's the size of Western Europe. And it's got tremendous wealth, despite the terrible problems it's had in the last 20 years. It's really, if you like, a sleeping giant, because it's got some of the most important minerals in the world deposited, and particularly minerals which are used for cell phones and computers. And it really should be a very rich country. But unfortunately, that wealth has been the subject of bitter infighting amongst militias and warlords. And that has also contributed to the instability of the country.
That's a fantastic follow-on, because my next question was whether or not major powers like the US and China, or even regional powers like South Africa, maybe, whether or not they have vested interests in peace in the region or even in the conflicts ongoing in the DRC.
Well, it's certainly the case that the conflict in the DRC has been fueled by the overspill from a neighbouring ethnic conflict in Rwanda. But once conflict got really a firm grip in the Democratic Republic of Congo, it's fair to say that a number of countries got involved. Mr. Kabila, the president, he actually called in help from Zimbabwe, Namibia and Angola. And for much of his presidency, these countries fought a proxy war on Congolese land. So there's a lot of different agendas at work here. I think the United States position is now, and it has been for some time, that it does actually want stability and peace in the Congo. The US ambassador to the UN has made it quite clear to Mr. Kabila, if elections are not held soon, then American support will be withheld from the country. So there's a linkage here in the American mind between Mr. Kabila's respect for the Constitution and the ability of America to continue to provide development assistance. So, you know, it's one thing for the world's only superpower to be advocating reconciliation and obeying the Constitution of the country in a democratic republic, but there are lots of local actors which do not have the same democratic aspirations and see the Democratic Republic of the Congo as a very valuable asset, and they want to see that they get their slice of the action.
What effect do you think this will have on the stability of the Kabila regime, and what effect do you think it will have on the wider region of sub-Saharan Africa?
Well, unfortunately, sub-Saharan Africa is after a relatively good decade in which a number of countries experienced significant economic growth. That's often overlooked in the Western world. We are seeing, if you like, some real patches of intense conflict, and the Democratic Republic does appear to be one of them. And the question you asked me was its impact upon the region. Well, substantial. I mean, it's got porous borders. This is a huge country, and it borders Sudan, which is on the Horn of Africa, Uganda in Eastern Africa, Rwanda, Burundi, and Tanzania. Now, if the sort of scenario which David Beasley envisaged, which is that unless the World Food Programme gets more support, and at the moment he says they're only getting 1% of what they need in terms of international support, if they don't get more support and people start starving in very large numbers, and here we're talking millions of people according to Beasley, then you can expect people to move into neighbouring countries. So you could have a massive exodus from a large country, which could destabilise many of those countries which I've just mentioned, Sudan, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, and Tanzania. Now, that's the worst scenario. Hopefully, the international community will respond, not just trying to fix the humanitarian consequences of this political crisis, but actually try to get the African Union in particular to put concerted pressure on the Kabila regime to act in accordance with the Constitution, which might diffuse the crisis to some degree.
Reporting for 95BFM News, Connor Nell.